You can't get saved without knowing you need to be forgiven. You can't be saved unless you are forgiven. You might understand that God brings this judgment upon those who will not repent, who will not relent, who will not turn to his free gift of salvation so graciously given. He will not relent, but he is patient.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And Dave, today it's Letter Day, where we hear from our listeners what God is doing through the Word of God coming forth through the ministry of Equipping the Saints. And I have a phone comment from Sonia in Wisconsin. She says, the program has been a blessing. I'm so grateful. Well, Sonia, thank you for letting us know that the program's a blessing. And we're so thankful for the privilege of getting God's Word out and so thankful it is blessing those who hear. And with this in mind, I just want to encourage our listeners to continue to write us, to continue to call us, to continue to email us and share what God is doing through his wonderful word. Okay. Well, now let's get to our message. We're in Ezekiel chapter 12, where we're going to continue to see something very interesting. Well, and what do I mean by this? Well, let's turn together to Ezekiel chapter 12 and find out.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org, to learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
God is a gracious God, and he had not given up on his people. He is faithful to his covenant, and he would keep a remnant, by the way. And he would work on them, and we'll see that. And notice, we see here, therefore, he used to do something because they're rebellious. Therefore, verse 3, because they're a rebellious house, and they're not hearing, son of man, prepare for yourself baggage for exile, and go into the exile by day in their sight, and even go into exile from your place to another place in their sight. Perhaps they will understand, for they are a rebellious house. He's been telling them for a while that judgment's coming. He's been telling them everything we've seen so far is what they've heard. If you've been in this church and you've been hearing these messages, you've been hearing judgment, right? We've been hearing that with God's grace sprinkled in. Well, everything he's been sharing, they have been hearing, but they're not hearing it. So God says, do this. And he says, perhaps they will understand, though they're a rebellious house. God's a very gracious God, by the way. It's a very gracious God. Perhaps they understand. Maybe you're hardened today, but perhaps you might understand. Perhaps God might break through today, as we'll see. God was always willing to forgive them. He is unwilling that any should perish, but wants all to come to repentance. You see, some of you are actually on your way to hell. And God is gracious, and he still reaches out to you, even in your hardest of heart. In Hebrews chapter 3, the writer of Hebrews says, therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. If you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. And he talks about brethren, because of those who did and didn't enter his rest. He says, take care, brethren, lest there should be any one of you with an evil, unbelieving heart and falling away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it's called today. Lest any of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. When you disobey, you rebel against God, you get hardened. That's why you don't want to be around church, around believers. You get hardened. You get hardened by sin. So back in our passage, chapter 12, verse 4, we see after he's prepared baggage for exile by day in their sight. Notice we're going to see this in their sight seven times. In their sight, in their sight, in their sight, in their sight, in their sight. Whose sight? The exiles. That's who it is. He says, verse 4, and bring your baggage out by day in their sight as baggage for exile. Then you will go out in the evening in their sight as those going in. So hey, you're preparing it during the day. What are you doing? Well, he's not going to say anything. Well, God tells him to, right? So he's preparing his baggage, getting it all ready. And then at night or evening time, because later on we're going to see the door dark and it's different than evening, okay? He's to take it out like he's heading out. Okay, and then notice something that's related but different. Verse 5, dig a hole through the wall in their sight and go through it. Wow. Okay. Dig a hole through the wall in their sight. Verse 5. Load the baggage on your shoulder and in their sight, carry it out in the dark. It's a different word. That's dark blackness, by the way. It's speaking of almost pitch blackness, okay? It's different than evening. Evening is, you know, we have morning and evening, right? We understand that. And he says, load and shoulder, carry it out in the dark. You shall cover your face so that you cannot see the land, for I have set you as a sign to the house of Israel. So in their sight, seven times, in verse 7, obviously this is a sign for them to see. And what's a sign? A sign points to something. You know, you see the sign on the road, falling rock. Yeah, that's not the rocks falling. That's a sign saying there's falling rocks ahead, right? Road closed. That's not the closed road. That's a sign pointing to the closed road, right? It's a sign. And he says, for I have set you, end of verse 6, as a sign to the house of Israel. And that's the house of Israel in exile, by the way. And so, notice Ezekiel obeys. This is a good guy. He's a good guy. You're going to meet him in heaven if you're a believer. And he'll be able to talk, I believe, too. And I did so as I had been commanded. Great statement. By day, I brought out my baggage, like the baggage of exile. Then in the evening, I dug a hole through the wall with my hands. I went out in the dark and carried the baggage on my shoulder in their sight. Okay. You know, we could learn from Ezekiel. He says, and I did so as I had been commanded. Did you know that God commands us? He commands a lot of things. Now, you can't do it apart from resting in Jesus. But when you rest in Jesus, his commandments are not burdensome. He enables you to do it. He gives you a heart to do it. And so we recognize it's in Christ. And so we can learn from Ezekiel's example. I did so as I've been commanded. Can you say that? And I did so as I've been commanded? Well, what are we commanded? Let's take a few examples. We're not to have anything against anyone, but we're to forgive. Can you say, I did so as commanded? Not elevating yourself. Ezekiel wasn't elevating himself. He just said, I did what God commanded me. We're not to lean on our own understanding. In all our ways, we're to acknowledge him. Can you say, I did so as commanded? Or are you leaning on your own understanding? Say no to that and do what God says. Right? Husbands are to love our wives, and we're to live with them in an understanding way. Love is Christ of the church. Can you say, I've done so as I've been commanded? Wives, you're to love your husbands, respect them, have a gentle and quiet spirit, hoping in the Lord, not fearing, as you have commanded. We're to raise our children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Can you say, I've done so, as you commanded? Children, you're to obey your parents in the Lord. Now, it's not perfect, but you know, we understand what I'm saying. You understand the example. Can you say, I've done so, as I've commanded, I've been commanded? We're to do our work heartily unto the Lord. Can you say, I've done so, as I've been commanded? We're not to fret because it only leads to evil doing. Can you say, I've done so as commanded? We're to be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Can you say, I've done so as I've been commanded? Pastors, you're to preach the word in season and out of season. You're to reprove and rebuke and exhort with great patience and instruction. Can you say, I have done so as I've been commanded? Ezekiel was obedient. And so here, notice, back in our text, Ezekiel, having obeyed the Lord, and you got these exiles watching him, and you got the obvious question that's going to be asked, right? What in the world are you doing? Verse 8, and in the morning, the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, has not the house of Israel, the rebellious house, got to remind him, right? The rebellious house said to you, what are you doing? Say to them. Now remember, he can't speak. So he hasn't spoken a word. He's just been doing what God told him. And now the Lord is telling him what to say back to them. So he's going to speak now, okay? He says, say to them, thus says the Lord God, this burden concerns the prince in Jerusalem as well as all the house of Israel who are in it. Say, I am a sign to you as I have done, so it will be done to them. Okay, there's the explanation. Now, some people use this passage to justify all kinds of wacky, crazy ministries. Dance troops for Jesus. Well, if you want to dance and you want to commit to the Lord, that's great. But if you're trying to relay the message that way and you believe God has called you to minister that way, I don't see anywhere in Scripture that says that. They will go to Ezekiel and say, yes, we are to do it because of this passage. Well, what I see in Scripture is for us now, we are called to preach the word. were to share the Word of God, that God would use it to change us, to make us like His Son, Jesus. This is what God was doing back with them at this very specific time. He spoke in many ways, in many portions, but now He has spoken through His Son, Hebrews chapter 1. And so if you're into those type of things, and you maybe are zealous without knowledge, I ask you, by what authority are you ministering for Jesus in this manner, right? Or drama, whatever it is. If you want to do drama and commit to the Lord, that's fine, okay? But if you were saying this is a ministry to convey a message, who gives you that authority to do so? To share God's message that way. God has said we're to preach the word. So then, He says here, in the morning the word came to me saying, verse 8, Son of man, has not the house of Israel, their brother's house, said to you, what are you doing? Verse 10, say to them, thus says the Lord, this burden concerns the prince of Jerusalem as well as the house of Israel who are in it. Say, I am assigned to you, as I have done, so it will be done to them. So He uses the term burden, this burden. Now, in the Old Testament, the term burden spoke of a burden. And when it was used in the context of prophecy, it spoke of a prophecy that was ominous, that was burdensome. When you have the burden of the Lord for Jerusalem, that's not a good thing. It's speaking of something that's ominous. So as this burden concerns, first of all, the prince in Jerusalem. Now, this would be the puppet king, Zedekiah. And unfortunately, we understand what puppet kings are like these days, don't we? Someone who's controlled by someone else. There's better forces behind him, right? So we understand that, don't we? So you might be saying, wait a second, I thought he was the king. Why is he not called the king here? Well, the reality is, Jehoiachin was the king, and he was taken into captivity, and then Babylon set up their puppet, Zedekiah. He's a puppet. He's not the king. He's a prince, or the word ruler. He's the ruler at this time, okay? And that's why God calls it what it is. He doesn't say King Zedekiah. He says prince, the prince, okay? And so it concerns the prince, and it also, end of verse 10, concerns as well as the house of Israel who are in it. The prince in Jerusalem, that's Zedekiah, and then the people that are in Jerusalem, that are in it, that's Jerusalem, okay? So then, this is a sign concerning what's going to happen to this prince in Jerusalem and the people. So we have this baggage sign that simply points to the fact that Zedekiah and the inhabitants, as we will see in the house of Jerusalem, that are not slain, by the way. There's some that are going to be slain. Okay, we saw it earlier. The ones that are not slain, they're going to pack baggage. They're going to escape. Okay, they're going to be exiled. So pretty straightforward. Why do you have the bags? Because I'm going on a trip. Just like they are, right? He's going on a trip. That's the same thing. You see, you got all your pack in your car. It says, where are you going? It's obvious you're going somewhere, right? You got four suitcases and whatever, you know, and they're going, where are you going? And so this happens. He's saying he's assigned to them. But notice, this sign is revealing and exposing what's going to happen to Zedekiah as he tries to escape. Okay, look at this. Verse 12. And the prince who is among them will load his baggage on his shoulder. That's like Ezekiel did, right? And in the dark, that's the blackness. That's not the evening now, it's blackness. This is the relates to the part where he dug through the hole, right? And go out. They will dig a hole through the wall and bring it out. And he will cover his face so that he cannot see the land with his eyes. So Zedekiah and all his guys, his helpers and his troops, are going to go in the dark of night. They're going to dig a big hole in the side, and they're going to try to escape, by the way. And it says Ezekiel's got to cover his eyes. It says he's not going to see. He's going to cover his, basically he's going to cover himself so they won't recognize him as the king. Okay, that's probably what he's doing. Okay? But notice, in ironic fashion, the Lord brings this about back on his head. We see in 2 Kings 25, verse 7, that ultimately Zedekiah would be blinded by the Babylonians. He and his sons would be captured. They would be slaughtered before his eyes, and then they would poke his eyes out, and then he would be taken captive. So Ezekiel is showing this as a sign to what's going to happen. He's going to try to escape, but he ain't going to make it. He ain't going to make it. He is going into captivity. And notice what he says. That's what he says here. Verse 13. And I shall spread my net. This is the Lord doing it through Babylon. And he will be caught in my snare. I'm doing it. And I shall bring him to Babylon. I'm doing it. In the land of the Chaldeans. Yet he will not see it. Why is he not going to see it? He has eyes poked out. Though he will die there. Wow, that doesn't sound too good. Their so-called king will be taken into captivity. Their puppet king, who was going along with Babylon, he'll be taken into captivity. And it's over because judgment has come. Even the king is leaving. He's going to leave. Okay? Now in verse 14, we see that his entourage will be scattered. And the sword will be drawn out after them. Verse 14, and I shall scatter to every wind all who are around him. He's got a little entourage. His helpers and all his troops. I shall draw a sword after them. Sword's going to chase them. They're going to get scattered, okay? Zedekiah, he gets captured, and others get captured, and they're going to be scattered. And then notice what he says in verse 15. So that they will know I am the Lord when I scatter them among the nations and spread them among the countries. Again, we have the reason explained. Some of them are being let free. They're going to be scattered, but they're going to know in this judgment that he is the Lord. Again, the knowledge of the Lord through judgment. You can know the Lord two ways. One, through willingly turning to Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will know him. Or through judgment, where your hardened heart is finally broken through as God judges, and you'll know him as the Lord. He says, verse 16, but I shall spare a few of them from the sword. So the guys that are running, most of them are going to get slaughtered, but a few of them are going to be spared from sword, famine, and pestilence, that they may tell of their abominations among the nations where they go and may know that I'm the Lord. That's God's grace. The other ones are going to die in judgment knowing he's the Lord. And here we got some that are going to make it. And they're going to tell of their abominations. They're going to say to the nations, we are a wicked people. And this is what God has done to us. They're going to tell of their abominations. Go back to Deuteronomy 29. Because the Lord predicted this, that when they would be ejected from the land, that they would tell the nations where they went. The nations could see it. They could see the Lord had an outburst of anger against them. They could see it. Deuteronomy 29, verse 24. And all the nations shall say, why has the Lord done this to the land? Why this great outburst of anger? Then men shall say, because they forsook the covenant of the Lord, the God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. And they went and served other gods and worshipped them, gods whom they had not known and whom had not been allotted to them. Therefore, whom he had not allotted to them. Therefore, the anger of the Lord burned against that land to bring upon it every curse which is written in this book. And the Lord uprooted them from their land in anger and in fury and in great wrath and cast them into another land, as it is to this day. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and our sons forever, that we may observe all the words written of this law. Israel was to be a kingdom of priests among the nations, Exodus 19:6. Yet they failed. So God would use his judgment upon them to share the truth, to bring the truth, that they would know that he is the Lord. This awesome truth, actually, in the context of judgment, does foreshadow what God would do through Israel's failure, rejecting Jesus. We see in Romans chapter 11 that the rejection of Israel brought about salvation to the Gentiles. And how much more greater will their fulfillment be? Romans 11. So then, through this sign, in which Ezekiel would play out the drama of the fate of the king Zedekiah and the people in the city, the events which would take place, they would come to know the Lord through judgment. And perhaps, as the Lord said back in verse 3, they would understand these exiles. Perhaps they'll understand. Because remember, he's sharing these things, and later on, they're going to happen. There's a report that's going to come back. Jerusalem's fallen. We're going to see that in chapter 33. Everything he's shared is going to be vindicated by the truth of what actually happens, because God will do what he says. Perhaps they'll understand. Perhaps you might understand. You might understand that God brings this judgment upon those who will not repent, who will not relent, who will not turn to his free gift of salvation so graciously given. He will not relent, but he is patient. Now, again, to those who want to say drama is the way to go, well, even in this, after Ezekiel played it out, it immediately pointed to the sign in which the word was declared. Immediately. And that was God's word, not someone's opinion about God's word. It was, thus says the Lord. So perhaps they'll understand. You see, there's mercy and judgment. And that mercy is seen in the context of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn for a second to Luke chapter 1. You see, God's mercy is manifest in Jesus. It's manifest, his tender mercy from on high. Now, Zacharias is prophesying concerning John the Baptist, but then he'll speak of the Savior. Luke 1:76. And you, child, that's speaking of John the Baptist, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare his ways. Luke 1:77. To give the people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. You can't get saved without knowing you need to be forgiven. You can't be saved unless you are forgiven, right? He says here, because of the tender mercy of our God. Tender mercy is just a wonderful statement. With which the sunrise from on high shall visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Don't harden your heart. Don't reject God's tender mercies. Turn and believe in him. So many write off the judgment of God, but his judgment will come. Notice there's a second sign back in our passage, and it's the sign of starvation, a terrifying famine. Look at verse 17. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, eat your bread with trembling and drink your water with quivering and anxiety. Eat your bread with trembling and drink your water with quivering and anxiety. Then say to the people of this land, thus says the Lord God concerning the inhabitants of Jerusalem in the land of Israel, they will eat their bread with anxiety, drink their water with horror, because their land will be stripped of its fullness on account of the violence of all who live in it. And inhabited cities will be laid waste, and the land will be a desolation. So you will know that I am the Lord. Again, we have another prophetic drama that is to be played out before these exiles as a sign, by the way. Ezekiel's to eat his bread, and it's that bread, Ezekiel bread, and his water, trembling and quivering. He's to act out, right? Okay, quivering with anxiety. He's to do that. And here, very clearly, he is portraying, as we'll see, the great famine that will come upon Israel during that 18-month siege. A terrifying famine.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up today's broadcast, there are so many applications to your message today, but maybe just pick a couple for our listeners to take with them.
Well, Dave, indeed we've seen that Ezekiel is faithful in obeying the Lord and playing out these signs for these exiles to see. And really, the real application in all these things is that God is a righteous judge and that he's going to judge sin. But yet, as we will see and have seen throughout Ezekiel, he takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather they would repent and live. And he is giving these exiles time to repent, and certainly that they would live rather than die in judgment. So with this in mind, what about you? Is God trying to spare you from the judgment you deserve from your sin? Is he? Well, he is if you're not saved. He desires all to come to repentance.
And so would you turn to Jesus, realizing you need him, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, knowing that he died for your sins and rose from the dead? Would you turn to Jesus? Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.